Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
We are not alone. And a very, very good evening to everyone out there on this wonderful Sunday, July 5th. Once again, you have tuned into Contact Radio, and I am Leslie Mitchell-Clark, your host, and joining you, or joining me, as always, is my co-host and also the producer of this show, Mr. Wes Roberts. Good evening, Wes. How are you doing?
Hey, Leslie. I'm great and really anxious tonight to get into our little analysis of our experiences at ACE.
That's right. And for those of you that are listening and have been listening to our show, lo, these many months, we have had a number of very high-level guests on Contact, including Paul Hellyer, Stanton Friedman, Grant Cameron, Len Kasten, et cetera. So we have had really just about all of the guests that appeared during the Alien Cosmic Expo weekend, which occurred last weekend in Brantford, Ontario. And Wes and myself were the MCs, and it was quite a wonderful and dynamic experience, very, very well attended, and I must say, beautifully organized by our friends Joanne Eady and Heather Masters.
And also, you know, we'll be doing our usual thank yous this evening, and actually we've got lots of time to do this. So we, in addition to Joanne and Heather, want to thank Les Such, and also thank Patrick White,
mm-hmm.
and Bob Mitchell, and I'm sure I'm missing some folks. I'm sorry.
Stu Bundy. We better thank Stu Bundy and
UFON.
And Victor Vigiani, and we were able to interface with all kinds of wonderful people, particularly some of our friends from the MUFON organization. And as we have mentioned before, the entire Alien Cosmic Expo was really presented by MUFON Brantford, and Stu Bundy is involved with, he is a regional director of MUFON Ontario, also a national director of MUFON Canada. Bob Mitchell is in there, and he's working with MUFON Brantford. So we were very, very honored to also establish this new, exciting relationship with these current people who are involved with MUFON, who are really go-getters. They're right up to the moment. They're open to all the science. They're open to experiencers, which is, again, a new thing for MUFON, if I'm not mistaken.
It is fairly new, and and these names you just heard, folks, these are key names of important people who are helped orchestrate the whole conference or played big roles in the conference and will probably end up liaising with and working with in the future. So MUFON is definitely, I would say, headed in different directions. They have a whole branch that deals with abductees and experiencers. And certainly if things work out for Leslie and I and them and Sid Goldberg and a few others, we'll be local support. We'll be offering something here.
Indeed, we will. Now, it's my understanding that MUFON in the U.S., Kathleen Marden, who is, of course, the niece of Betty Hill, of the famous Ground Zero seminal abduction case of Betty and Barney Hill. Kathy Marden, who's written a couple of books with Stanton Friedman, as I understand it, she is overseeing or has a lot to do with a new sub-organization for MUFON US. I'm afraid I don't remember the exact title of it.
I thought it was it ART or something like
mm-hmm.
that? But it was a three-letter acronym, and I'm sorry I don't remember the name either, but they've been at this for a little while, But there's a need locally too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We don't really have any official trained certified hypnotherapist in Canada who does this kind of work. Maybe aside from myself, I know certainly I'm one of the very few that can be said. Anyway, we're hoping to be able to really help in a very significant way, because many individuals, when they have had sightings or encounters, or I hesitate to use the word abduction, I don't really like it, but I would say encounters. Apparently, the place of the place where they first feel comfortable to make contact is often MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because and I think our good friend Stu Bundy would say this as well, that at least at first blush, MUFON itself is not equipped to deal with it, and so they do refer people to Kathleen Martin and some other folks, I think, in California as well. And that's where we sort of all got talking and thought, there's some serendipity going on here.
Yeah, indeed there is. Indeed there is. So we're now, thanks to the Alien Cosmic Expo, to the incredible support of MUFON Canada, MUFON Ontario, MUFON Hamilton, MUFON Brantford, we've been able to make some very solid connections, and we're going to be able to help a lot of people, many more people than previously we would have had an open channel to.
And perhaps one day we'll actually be able to nab Sid Goldberg for the show, so he could tell you more from his own lips about exciting projects he's got underway right now that will probably be involving us as well.
Indeed. And in fact, we should absolutely make a note to have Sid Goldberg come on the show perhaps even this month. Sid Goldberg, for those of you've heard us speak about him, he is a multiple Emmy-winning producer, director, writer, he has focused on several projects, one of them being a television series that is dealing with abduction experiences or ET encounters, and the other one is a massive, I would have to call it a media platform, not unlike Linda Moulton Howe's Earth News or Earth Files rather. Or specifically more like the Huffington Post. So this is what Sid is working on, and many of the people that he interfaced with at Alien Cosmic Expo now are going to be featured or involved in most likely the huge media platform.
Well, we've definitely had a sneak peek at it. So Leslie, your hostess, is front and center on the site already. We got to see a lot of different pieces of it. And I guess in internet terms, not that we care about such things, you would call it a portal, I suppose, because from there you'll be able to get all things that are important and to do with abductions, experiencers, mm-hmm. and UFO fields.
Indeed. So we would expect Sid Goldberg's, I think it's all right if I say the name, it's going to be called Earth Mystery News, and we'll be going live at some time in the very near future, and we'll have Sid on to talk all about that when that does happen.
Yeah, and as a follow-up, and remember tonight's just off the cuff, we actually spent a little time with Sid late last week in a follow-up visit with somebody that was at the Alien Cosmic Expo. I don't know how much we can really get into tonight because there's some privacy concerns, but we have seen him recently, and we've been interacting with people all week.
Indeed we have. So there's, as always, we're all about dispelling fear. And so I would just say, for those of you that are listening to us this evening, if you believe that you may have had an encounter, an unusual encounter, an episode of high strangeness, if you have missing time, if you have awoken perhaps with some odd marks on your body, any of these things could not necessarily, but could point to an encounter experience. And we are here, and we would love for you to reach out to us and to contact us directly, so we can make sure that you get the right input and the right help, no matter where you're located, because we're, of course, broadcasting globally at the moment.
And in with respect to that, we've been sitting on some new email addresses for a little bit, so I'm going to mention them now and hopefully mention them later. It's very easy to remember these email addresses. To reach Leslie, you'll want to write to host@contactradio.ca. Myself would be producer at contactradio.ca. And for bookings, it would be bookings at contactradio.ca.
That's right. So there it is. So everything is getting simpler and easier, and we just really look forward to interfacing on a more and more in-depth level with all of you wonderful listeners that are tuning into the show throughout the globe. And speaking of which, we should shout out to some of our friends, I think. I would love to first shout out to our friend Robert Mason in Perth. He's going to be on the show very soon with part three of the Robert Mason Chronicles. And Robert Mason is also the leader of the Perth C5 Protocol initiative pod. And these are, of course, a group of dedicated individuals who have been trained in Dr. Stephen Greer's C5 Protocol. And they are working and are on interfacing with extraterrestrial beings, and they are getting tremendous results. I don't know about you, Wes, but I get footage every day from Australia that's sent to me through the email of sightings and activities that are going on. It's incredibly, incredibly busy down there in Australia, for sure.
Well, our pal Robert's really active, and he's such a nice guy. He's got so many stories to tell. So he's an experiencer as well, possibly an abductee. He's very plugged in. He and his group, of which we're part of too, are also posting stuff all the time. So we love having him on the show, guns blazing, as he might do.
Indeed, indeed. He is he's sort of a UFOria cowboy. And speaking of UFOria, we should also send a big shout out to our friends in the UFOria Chronicles organization, and that would, of course, be Mr. James Borg, who is the leader of both UFOria, UFOria Chronicles, Charlie Kundalini, Paul Sheesh's, Carl Dory. We would also like to thank Greg Summer, who has a marvelous company called Variety Store Productions. It is a full-service video production house. He does everything from post-production to principal shoots to pre-production. You name it, he does it. And that's VarietyStoreProductions.com. So we want to thank Mr. Greg Summer and, again, James Borg. And it would be wonderful to have James on the show again very soon.
Yeah, most of us, not myself, I was, I guess, one of the fortunate ones that got to see him. James, for a very short time, and Greg as well, Skullman, were at a Thursday night, though. Thursday wasn't anything official. It was just check-in and basically meet at the bar, and actually we lived at the bar, but I'm not saying that publicly. But anyway, but we closed the bar every night, just saying. So James was there on the Thursday night, and Skullman Greg was there as well. And we had a chance to chat it up with them. And I'm sorry they weren't there for the rest of the show, and they couldn't be there for the rest of the show. And I know James is a bit under the weather, so we want to send our special thoughts and a little white light out to James.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we would also like to thank, of course, some of our other wonderful sponsors, Patrick White and his lovely wife, Kadina, and their beautiful store, Conspiracy Culture. Now, excuse me, Conspiracy Culture is not just a bookstore. It is really a community center for free thought, I would have to say. Patrick White and Kadina run a lecture series. They present authors. They're also very involved with our friends at Modern Knowledge, which brings me to our next little subject we wanted to talk about. Patrick White and our friends at Modern Knowledge are about to present a marvelous event in August, and I think, Wes, you can maybe tell our audience a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, can do, absolutely. In addition to Patrick, of course, is Chris Russick, and he was also there that Thursday night, and so chat, and lots of interface and lots of crossover between what those good folks at Modern Knowledge do and what we do. Anyways, the website is modernknowledge.ca, and yes, they have a current tour on, and actually things get underway in Montreal on August 15th. So I'll let you all go have a look, but I just want to do some highlights from the website. So all sorts of guests, Alex Gray, Allison Gray, Marty Leeds, Dr. Carmen Bolter, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Patty Greer, who was at the ACE conference, Michael Cremal, and other guests are going to be there. Montreal, Toronto, August 16th, Calgary the 22nd, Vancouver the 29th, Victoria the 30th. So cross in the country. And in addition to that current tour, Ireland's on tap for next year. It looks like March 2016. They have video on demand. They have information on the female Illuminati. So all sorts of information on their site. So they're our good pals, and some of what they do crosses into what we do, and we're happy about it. It's modernknowledge.ca.
All right, and I hope everybody can attend those events, and they're consistently bringing wonderful people in. So, and I should mention also Chris Rusek and his partner David Whitehead. David Whitehead and his lovely wife are new parents, which is why we did not see David Whitehead at the ACE convention, because as I'm told, I believe he delivered his own baby on the living room floor. I don't think it was intended to be that way, but I believe that's what happened. So they are the proud parents of a beautiful baby girl.
And so we, you know, while we're at ACE, crisscrossing through vendors and going from meeting room to meeting room, and we didn't get to take in a lot on our own because we were sort of, I wouldn't say stuck, but we were sort of confined to the main ballroom at times. But we talked to all sorts of vendors. Patrick and Kadena, for instance, I was in there a couple of times, chatting it up with them, and they're so great, so forthcoming, so direct contact in your face. It's great, so honest and frank. Really, really enjoyed that. Such good energy. Michael Telstar was in there as well.
Oh, man. Telstar was amazing. Wasn't he? When he gave his presentation in the ballroom, he really did some rather incredible stuff, if you can remember. He, Michael Telstar, you know he's been on our show before. He's one of our favorites. He is the original Magic Mike, I guess. He was an escape artist. He went by the name of Scott Free for a while, and he also is primarily known as one of the leading experts and proponents of remote viewing. He studied at the Monroe Institute in the Gateway program, and he did do, I suppose you could say maybe he's even a bit of a mentalist as well in his skill set. So there was quite an interesting demonstration that he did where he had a member of the audience simply hold a key. The member of the audience was holding the key in her palm where everyone could see it visibly. And Michael Telstar was able to affect some kind of molecular change with that key to where it actually bent. We saw it bend, and some of us, myself included, saw blue sparks flying off of the key. So something happened. This was fantastic to me because it was that wonderful melding of magic and mentalism. And now I know, Wes, you've worked quite a bit in magic and also remote viewing. What did you think about? Have you seen someone do this kind of demonstration before, where they were able to bend a key essentially with their mind?
You know, I would say I have not, and I need to add something into that right after this, but I would say I have not. But then again, we have learned recently on the show that certain applications or skill sets, if you will, can be used for things that you would never imagine. For instance, dowsing was used recently to find somebody's lost dog.
Yeah.
Not find them in the here and now, find them 2 weeks hence.
In the future.
A
skilled dowser was able to locate a lost pet and tell the owner, if you go to this spot 2 weeks from now, your dog will be there. And in effect, that's what happened.
Yeah, and I must say I have very little knowledge of dowsing, but it makes perfect sense. It's like you're using one set of skills, you might call them psychic skills or sensitive skills, for something else. And so when Michael Telstar demonstrated this key phenomena, he's using a certain set of skills to affect something in time and space. Just so happens he could see it, and we all could see it.
Yeah.
And I should say, too, that when I stopped by his booth, I sprung the big bucks out. he might not think it's big bucks. I sprung the big bucks out for a remote viewing manual and CDs.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, fantastic. Well, we are hoping that Michael Telstar, perhaps in the fall, will run his Obanot program. It's OBE, his Obanot program, which usually is several weeks. I think it's about 4 weeks. He has about a four-part class that he does. So hopefully that will be happening in the fall. And I believe, no doubt, with these books and DVDs, that you can probably acquire them online. Is that correct?
Well, I'm pretty sure on his site, which I'll try to look up before the show is over, that you can buy them online as well. But as Leslie was saying, he is trained to the hilt, and he's been giving classes for several years, so he's a train-the-trainer kind of guy as well. And this is something that it is claimed, and he said the same thing, anyone can learn how to remote view.
Yeah, I believe it's true. It is a discipline like anything else, and I know that one of the things he did say about remote viewing, that, and people kept asking this question kind of again and again and again, that the remote viewer, it's very important that they keep their mind in sort of a blank slate condition while doing the work. And maybe, Wes, perhaps you could just in a little thumbnail explain what we mean by remote viewing. It may be a little confusing to some of our listeners.
Well, I'll give it a shot. We've certainly asked Michael to do this on the show. And by the way, I found this website very straightforward, michaeltelstar.com. So there you go. And Telstar has two R's. All right, Telstar. So michaeltelstar.com. But basically, the premise of remote viewing, as I understand it, is yes, to make your mind a blank slate of neutrality, so that you're not interested in one outcome or another, because it will filter out information that you need. Once you do that, you're going to put yourself in a meditative state. Do you, Leslie, remember what the brainwave state was? It wasn't...
The alpha state. It is the alpha state, which is the same place that... that you go when you are meditating. The client is often inducted into alpha state for hypnosis. The alpha waves of the brain begin to undulate, and deeper states. There's the alpha state, and then if we're doing something in the nature of regression or serious pain management or a deep process of some sort, then it is rather necessary to get someone into the theta state, which is an even deeper state, and the theta waves are affected. And the delta state is sleep, essentially. So these states we're talking about are really different levels of consciousness between what we consider wakefulness and the body being asleep.
And that adds tremendously to an understanding of how remote viewing works. So once you hit the alpha state, you essentially work with what Michael Telstar and others call a target. And the target can be just a set of coordinates, latitude and longitude, or it can be a number, a coded number that makes no sense. I think it was a 6-to-8-digit number that they use. And the number's linked to some target somewhere in the world. It doesn't have to be present day. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's interesting, and maybe, Leslie, you can talk about this too a little bit. I think it might have even been you that asked them about remote viewing into the future.
Yes, and it is, because I've often wondered about that, because sometimes in working with individuals in past life regression, they will slip into a future life. And this is usually not something that I've ever instigated. In other words, sought to bring them to that. If the person's supposed to hear about a possible future life, they apparently, can slip right into it, or at least a possible future life. I think everything is probably fairly mutable, and we now sort of, it's sort of agreed, like with the work of Einstein, that space-time is flexible and mutable. It all exists simultaneously, and it's simply a question of tuning into different channels, like television channels.
And, we've talked about, to use Leslie's term, the fluidic nature of time, or the plastic nature of time. Mm-hmm. So it should be not surprising at all that when you remote view, it's through space and or time.
Indeed.
Forward, backwards, or present. And certainly remote viewers were employed, maybe still are, by the U.S. government, the Russian government, probably the Canadian government, probably the Chinese government, and a few others I think Michael went through. In the U.S. it was under Project Stargate.
Yes, yes, indeed. It was a real thing that probably continues to this day. In fact, if you if you've ever seen the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats, which is I believe it was a Coen Brothers comedy starring George Clooney and Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges, you'll see sort of an exploration of that idea of how the military was attempting to use all sorts of, I don't want to say paranormal, but metaphysical skills and approaches as you know, weapons essentially, or you know, I guess that's the best way we can summarize it.
And so let's say you have this number that was given to you by someone else, that was given to him by someone else. So there's a blind system in place so you can't pollute or corrupt the results.
Yeah.
So you have a number, say it's 100,005 or something like that. You focus on the number 100,005, and it takes you to the target. Now, if the target was, say, a book,
mm-hmm.
just a book, well, the book's going to be on a table, and the table's going to be in a house or an apartment, and that's going to be in a city. And if you're understanding this, you get the idea of how the remote viewing works. Yes, you'll acquire the target, the book, but then your vision should spread out.
Yes. And well, it's so fascinating. Now I'm dying to learn the discipline of this, which is why I'm very much hoping that Michael will run his Obanot course. But last year, I just thought, well, I'm just going to try this and see how I do. And as it happened, a colleague of mine, in fact, wonderful psychic Betsy Belega. It was Betsy Belega. Betsy Belega had a close friend. Now, again, this is two people removed. I did not know the people involved. They were friends of Betsy's. But these friends of Betsy's had a teenage daughter who had disappeared, just vanished. They didn't know where she was. Police were involved. So I thought, well, you know, I don't know this girl. I don't have an emotional investment here. I'm going to try to make myself blank and just be a kind of a diagnostic tool. So I went into a meditative state, and suddenly, and it was immediate. It was like the speed of light. I mean, it didn't take any time at all. Like, suddenly, I was in this sort of very funky, kind of broken-down cottage that smelled like mold. And I knew it was quite remote. And also, the cottage had a smell of wet dogs. So I knew it had been raining or there was water. So the whole place smelled like mold and wet dogs. And then I saw some what felt like disreputable men standing around, young men. I got the feeling of drug use. And that, again, was just a feeling. I didn't smell it or see it. I felt it. And then I saw this young girl just laying on a couch, just sort of passed out, sleeping, but not hurt, not dead, just basically passed out, probably from some type of drug use. And then, bang, zoom, it was like an elastic band pulled me right back into my body. And I immediately wrote down what I had seen. And I called Betsy because she knew the people. I said, I don't know if this will be of any help. I think she left it for free will with a disreputable boyfriend. I think she's in a cottage. I think it's near water. And, I can only tell you that a few days later, that's exactly where they found her. And she was alive. She was, you know, just a teenage girl. But it was that exact situation. So somehow I had enough details. I mean, apparently it doesn't take much in the way of details, Wes. Is it the desire that sends us? And if it's the desire that sends us, why does it not seem to work as well when we have an emotional desire to maybe help someone, help a friend, or find our own missing pet? What is it about the emotional thing that seems to, at least at this level, from what I understand, interfere with that bilocation process?
Well, I can try to address those questions. Certainly not an expert. The first thing is it focus and intent? It is focus and intent and belief that there is no distance between you and any other thing, especially between you and any other sentient life force.
Mm-hmm.
There is no distance, physical or otherwise, between you and that thing. Therefore, you can connect with them.
Yeah.
And if they call it remote viewing, you get to see something and retrieve it more than a real-time sort of thing. So that's one interesting piece of it. And emotions, I think, cloud and circumvent a more direct connection, because emotions bring in, I believe, bias.
Mm-hmm.
Bias
mm-hmm.
and stories that you're going to make up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm emotionally upset, so I'm going to imagine, say, my good friend Alexandra is sick. And then my thought about her being sick is I get sick. And then I'm mm-hmm. unable to properly reach her through a clear channel because my emotions are clouding that channel.
Indeed. Well, again, this would be vibration, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because certain negative emotions, fear, worry, anxiety, have a very low vibration and will interfere with any type of psychic or extrasensory process, is my feeling about that.
And I agree with that 100%. And, you know, I think Michael said when he was on stage, you've got to understand, and this was a whole theme of ACE, actually, the interconnectedness between us and all other sentient things.
Yeah.
Through backwards and forwards, through space and time, and, of course, in the here and now.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That is so true. So hopefully we'll get to take the Obanot class, and hopefully I can take maybe this little twinkle of a skill that I may have and learn the proper discipline. But I do think the reason that it was so effective is because I did not know the people involved. I really was kind of a blank slate. I mean, if my own kids are out too late, they're big now, but, you know, I would try to do that. I'd try to imagine where they were and see where they were, and usually pretty unsuccessful.
But not always, because you have stories about this.
Yeah.
And in fact, about remote viewing, if I want to remind you of something and see if you tweak in and tell our audience about this, Leslie, let's get small.
Oh, yes. Again, this is Michael Telstar. God, he's such a fascinating guy. I was talking to him about healing. And, of course, one of the big wonderful things that can be accomplished through these Obanot techniques or remote viewing techniques is healing, or at least being able to see what's going on. That's I'd say it's more about that. So I don't think my sister would mind me telling this story. I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyway. So this was fairly recently. My dear sister, through the course of a normal examination, was told that she had a growth somewhere. And they were not able to tell whether it was cancerous or benign. She was incredibly concerned. In her mind, it was probably cancerous. You know, I mean, I think she had jumped to the worst possible conclusion. I think she was thinking along those lines. And so somehow I just knew, even though she's my sister and I love her and I'm emotionally involved, somehow I just knew I could do this technique that Michael Telstar taught me. So he taught me to become small. Actually miniaturize myself, just like the movie Fantastic Voyage. If anyone out there is as old as we are, you may remember it from 1968 with Raquel Welch and Donald Pleasence and I forget who else was in it. Fantastic Voyage. Anyway, so I went into a meditative state, became small in my mind, and projected myself into my sister's body, and I was walking around and looking at the area. I saw exactly the area. I also saw that the growth looked just like a skin tag. It didn't look anything like anything threatening or cancerous, and I was also able to determine exactly what size it was. And so the next day, And then Zoom, I was back in my body again, like a rubber band pulling me back in. The next day I talked to my sister, and she had gotten the results back, and she confirmed, yes, it's benign. Yes, it is 2 centimeters, just as you told me. And so that was it was very powerful. And what surprised me is how easy it was, Wes. This wasn't like I had to go put myself into some kind of dramatically altered state and that it took a long time to get there. It happened just with a relaxation and with the speed of light, really. It was the speed of light. All I had to do was think about where I wanted to be and how I wanted to perceive what I was looking at, and being small, and there I was.
And this is not something I've ever done, and I think it's an incredible, wonderful account of how this can work. And I know it's going to sound, folks, like this is the That's Talk Up Michael Telstar show, but we just got off on a tangent here.
Yeah.
Anyways, just to continue this for just a sec, I think one thing he might say, and I'm not sure if he said this at ACE or not, was that if we stop to realize we are everywhere at once, then, in fact, you are at your sister's place already.
Yeah.
And you just said, that's dial in my sister. Of the millions of things I can dial in, I'll dial in my sister to become aware of her at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then you dialed yourself back in.
Yes. And in that instance, I was completely able to, even though I adore my sister, and of course I had concern, for some reason I was able to get the blank slate effect. In that instance, I was just, well, let's just go in and take a look. It felt casual and very natural.
Yeah, instead of going in and saying, let's find out where the cancer is, or
yeah.
anything like that,
yeah.
which, bang, you're off at that point. It's not going to work.
No, it wasn't that. I knew where to go, and I was going to go in and look around, walk around. And that's what I did.
No submarine.
No submarine necessary. I asked her if she... and I chose a specific time to do this, too, because my sister is in Los Angeles and we're in Toronto. We're in East Coast time. So I made sure it was about 4 in the morning for her so she would be asleep. I don't know why that seemed important to me that she be asleep, but I planned it that way so that I would do this early in the morning, my time, so that she was not conscious. I don't know if that's an aspect, but... it worked.
Well, for her it could be, because she would be open to something that she may or may not otherwise unconsciously block.
Yeah.
Had she known.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're asleep, and especially in a dream state, we're in a very receptive state.
Yes.
Open
yes.
to ideas and inputs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably her, you're right. It was probably her receptivity that I was looking for. Yeah, because she had to allow it on some level. Is that true, Wes? Does the in a remote viewing exercise, say the target is a human being, do they have to allow on some level being found or located?
I think my answer to that would be if they want or have a connection with you already,
mm-hmm.
if they desire such a thing, if they don't object to such a thing,
mm-hmm.
If it's like, if we're talking about famous political figures and that, they probably have people protecting just this kind of access.
Oh.
Because those people probably neither want nor would even know how to do this.
Yeah.
So they're vulnerable, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
But for us to form a kind of healing, positive connection, I think that there has to be an allowance made on the part of the person being remote viewed.
Yeah, I think that's probably very true. So, well, anyway, more on Michael Telstar next time we have him on, and we'll be talking about his upcoming workshops and all that. Now, who else really, I know what I would say, but Wes, who else at the Alien Cosmic Expo conference really reached you, really, really spoke to you, really impressed you?
Well, yeah, that's such a hard question, because we talked to all these people on the show, and then we met them in person, and then we chatted with them in the hallways and everything, and we're probably going to go down this tangent. I can just see it, but Grant Cameron, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Grant Cameron is a remarkable individual, so intelligent, and, you know, he's been on our show several times, and his primary focus was, and he's certainly the leading expert in what the U.S. presidents knew about UFO contact, reverse engineering, parallel space programs, ETs, all of that, what they knew and when they knew it. And he is the foremost expert. You can go to his website, The President's UFO, The Presidential UFO, I'm so sorry, thepresidentialufo.com. And a few years ago now, Grant Cameron had what he referred to as a automatic kind of a spiritual download. He received a bunch of information, and it just happened automatically. I think it was at a conference where he was just sitting there in the audience, and suddenly he was infused with a whole lot of information, essentially about how our spirituality works. And now, in addition to being an expert on the history of presidential involvement with ufology, he now is into a whole other area, talking about how we receive information, how the right brain is a direct conduit to all that is, that intelligence really lives outside the body. And so Grant Cameron he spoke a couple of times, and it was fantastic each time.
Yeah, Grant Cameron touched a lot of pushed a lot of buttons, including my buttons, which was fine, about the nature of consciousness, the non-locality of consciousness, intertwined with information from science and physics, mm-hmm. quantum physics, all sorts of facts to prove that consciousness is non-local and intertwined, and really what we need to do is let the right brain take over to have this kind of communication.
We have to do... Actually, what I do in hypnosis is I basically short-circuit the left brain. I basically take it offline so that we are then completely functioning with our intuitive selves. And, you know, Da Vinci knew about the nature of the right brain and the left brain. You know, we often hear that the right brain is female, the left brain is male. I wouldn't put it that way, but even, you know, Da Vinci was always making things to the right larger or out of perspective. He was always trying to get that idea that our intuitive nature was where the information came from and what was important. And Grant Cameron has an abundance of solid research on how the brain works. And he even has done some incredible research into the nature of autism and the fact that people on the autism spectrum, you know, they may have that one of the reasons why autistic people can be have incredible brilliance or skill or are incredibly adept at certain things is because if the left brain is damaged in some way, which seems to be what's happened with autism, that there's some kind of left brain damage, that then the right brain is free to connect and express. And that's how we have autistic people who are inspired musicians, mathematicians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's even speculated that Einstein himself was somewhere on the spectrum of autism. In fact, he didn't speak until he was more than 2 years old. So that's a fairly big indicator that there was something going on there, that he came in with a body and a brain that allowed him to connect to universal knowledge, which is, you know, how he formed his still challenging and now proven to be correct theories.
Yeah, Grant spoke about this in so many ways, it's impossible. I wish I had a slideshow in front of me. It was just crazy. But how, in some cases, the connection between left and right brain has actually been severed,
mm-hmm.
and how scientists have communicated just with the left or just with the right brain in a person.
Yeah.
And that person's answered according to how the left or the right brain can answer them. It either spoke to them or it was able to point at things. It was the most incredible stuff that he was going through.
Yeah, amazing. So Grant Cameron, certainly an inspiration to everyone with some of the most profound, cutting-edge information that I've seen in a very, very long time.
And that's presidentialufo.com, and you're going to see all presidents from Eisenhower up to Obama. And Grant had some unique film clips of all these presidents when they were directly asked about the existence of UFOs, Area 51 and all that.
Yeah, indeed. Fascinating. I think another one of my very favorite guests had to be Sandy Mack. Sandy Mack is, like myself, a certified clinical hypnotherapist. She is also a regressionist. She works in the areas of past life regression and future life regression and all of these types of modalities. But probably she is best known as a dowser. And by a dowser, I mean that she uses some type of a dowsing tool. I mean, a dowser doesn't even have to use a tool, but some type of, I don't know if she uses rods or a pendulum, but she uses dowsing technology to communicate with higher knowledge, with her higher self, with entities. She uses dowsing in historical areas to be able to perceive what happened there and how it happened. And she has done some incredible work with Michael Tellinger, who, of course, we mentioned him earlier. He's the leader of the Ubuntu Party, and he is the individual who has really brought to light the thousands and thousands of paleo, extremely ancient gold mines in South Africa. So she's done work with Michael Telstar. She's done work with our friend, Dr. Sam Osmanagic, at the Bosnian Pyramid. So Sandy Mack was fascinating, and she was able to talk a good deal about ancient archaeology, ancient technology, and this, to me, was incredibly fascinating. So we love Sandy Mack.
Yeah, Sandy was a wonderful woman to meet. I remember her grabbing my arm basically on the way out from the big room after a presentation and talking to me about Leslie and I having her on the show in the past, because we had all the guests on the show that appeared at ACE, and telling us how much she enjoyed that and how we're receptive and ask good questions and all that. And that, you know, it's flattering, but it's also in the nature of being just genuine.
Yes. Well, she brought, you know, she's so genuine. She just brings herself and is open and expressive and lovely gal. She lives in Arizona. One of her neighbors is Travis Walton, who of course is the very, very famous experiencer slash abductee, if you will, whose story was profiled in the Tracy Torme film Fire in the Sky. Not very accurately, but big parts of it were accurate. But that's Travis Walton, and she's one of his neighbors. So.
Yeah, we asked her, I think it was Leslie asked her specifically about Travis Walton, and I'm not sure he's out doing the circuits anymore, but he's certainly busy writing and things like that. So famous case, Travis Walton case, if you're interested, you can look that up. Another guest that I'm sure Leslie will talk about, we can both go on about him, was the Honorable Paul Hellyer.
Oh, man. That was, for me, one of the great honors of my life, to be able to introduce this dear man, intelligent, insightful, respected, experienced, humble, and I was very surprised to know that he had grown up on a farm in Brantford. Brantford is his hometown. And he certainly spoke, he spoke a couple of different times, and I know that one of the ways he likes to refer to himself is as a maverick economist, and his education is in economics. He's been very involved in that all of his life, and so he talks about fixing the money, eliminating poverty, fixing the environment, you know, bringing the oil cartels down to their knees, free energy, I think it was a big wake-up call for many people, because here was this distinguished politician, former Defense Minister of Canada, former Deputy Prime Minister, and here he was talking about, we've only got about 10 years, kids, to straighten out our crapola before major famine, major disasters continue.
To get off the oil economy, among other things. You can look him up at all over the place, but paulhellyerweb.com, MoneyMafia.com is the best place. And his latest book, The Money Mafia, which he talked about.
Yes, yes, that's his thing. Some conspiracy theorists, you know, really go off the deep end. But Paul Hillier very logically explained how a lot of people, a small group of people, became basically in charge of our monetary systems, and most of this happened after World War II.
Yeah, I remember actually one of the factoids which I posted to Facebook in one way or another was approximately 80 families in the world control 50% of the world's wealth. I hope you're hearing me out there, folks. This is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
80 families control 50% of the world's wealth.
Yes.
And that means they pretty much dictate what we do and how we do it.
Yeah. So this is all going to have to change. And he has a clear way to do it. I mean, Paul Hillier just isn't saying, well, this is bad, this has got to go. You know, he has very distinct, workable ideas and plans and how we can recreate our world to be an ecumenical, fair, open, humane, environmentally forward-thinking place.
And Mr. Hillier has written like several books, and when he was defense minister and other positions he held in the Canadian government, he was made well aware of developments in the U.S. government and other governments about UFOs and cover-ups.
Indeed.
And about the number of species that were thought to be here in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah. He's a very, very active disclosurist and has, in fact, spoken at both of Dr. Stephen Greer's disclosure conferences in Washington, D.C. So being in the government in that kind of intimate way, you know, he has an awful lot of information. So,
and he's a really active guy. He's a little bit up there in age, and he's a really active guy. That's why you'd never know it. And he's got all this information in him. And I remember one of his closing things basically was about he wants his he does what he does for his grandkids, I think, is basically what he said.
Yes. Yes, he does. So he's still optimistic. With all the stuff that he's seen, he's still optimistic. And I urge anyone out there to pick up his book, The Money Mafia, and you'll have a very reasonable, truthful, factual look into how global economics work and our modern era of elitism and how that came to be. And it's fascinating.
Now, I don't know how much time we'll have tonight to get into this, Leslie. It looks like about 8 minutes or 7 minutes left. But one of the things that stood out for me, and this is always true for me, is the personal one-to-ones, the meetings you have with people, whether it's talking to Sid over coffee or dinner or in the bar, or a number of people that approached us personally, desperately needing help. Help is already underway. Help is already being enacted. But those are the things that stand out for me, the conversations.
Yes, it was a wonderful opportunity to really meet people one-on-one. And people were very open. There was no vulnerability. And I have to attribute that at least in part not only to the high level of people that were there, but Joanne Eady and Heather Masters, the organizers of Alien Cosmic Expo, are both expert dowsers, and they had their people from the dowsing societies going all over the convention clearing space and getting rid of negativity all over the convention. And I've never, you know, I've been to a few of these things, but I have never been to one where the people running it were such active practitioners that they were actually cleaning and clearing the space as the event went forward.
And I was witness of some of this, and I'm not very familiar with these techniques, and so you can imagine my surprise walking past Joanne or another one who was helping out, thinking, what are you doing with that thing in the corner?
Well, I'd have to say, Susan Collins, who was marvelous, expert dowser. Susan Collins, in fact, I believe she was the first female president of the Association of Canadian, the Canadian Association of Dowsers. So she's very, very involved. And Susan Collins has even dowsing devices of her own design. And I happened to see her with something really remarkable that was made out of copper and had a weight on it. It was fantastic. So we had all kinds of stuff going on, not to mention all of Larry Campbell's doodads on site. Our friend Larry Campbell from Down East is a remarkable guy who has, gotten a lot of information through his right brain, through downloads, as he says, about sacred geometry. And he's been working in copper and gold and constructing incredible, I'd have to call them, power objects.
Yeah, he talked about this on the show, and I didn't get a chance to interface with him much at ACE, but he talked about it on the show. So he's instructed about the shape and form of the objects, and then he's also told how to infuse them, basically. And infusing the objects really is a big deal. It's like, okay, take your atypical, say, interesting, maybe it's Fibonacci series magical object with sharp angles where phi is in effect, for instance, and then infuse that with something, and it's alive. It's not just a symbol, it's a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does that.
I guess that's what these objects do, in a sense, is they create small portals where energy can be received. So I will have to talk to him some more about it. I didn't get a chance to actually go in and see all of his stuff, but the fact that it was even on site created a difference as far as the energetic situation of the event.
Yeah, so there was all this. There was the hotel, which we have to pay tribute to, did quite a big job. I mean, it's out of town for Leslie and I, and it's in town for others. So, and we're not sure about next year where the conference will be. But the hotel did a really good job. Brantford did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Hotel Association, I think, of Brantford was there to hand out goodies. We got some free breakfasts and stuff like that. The rooms were always clean. Everybody said hello.
Very, very polite people working there. And I think it was Brantford Tourism that was actually so supportive and on site. So it was a fantastic event, and those are kind of the highlights that stand out to me. And I know that next year is going to be even bigger and better, and we'll have another fabulous array of guests. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our dear Stanton Friedman was also there. And Stanton, as a few of you know, last year he had a rather serious heart attack and a surgery, and he is back at it, full of energy, full of vim, full of vigor. He gave 3 major presentations. I don't think anyone else did that. And he just looked great. So it was so heartwarming and wonderful to see our friend Stanton Friedman, you know, back at it.
Yeah, Stanton was great. He has such an array of experiences. MJ-12, Majestic 12 is one of those, which he gave a talk specifically on. And as Leslie was saying, there's so many other guests we could talk about, Victor Vigiani and so many others that we met there. But I want to leave you with one line, and maybe Leslie will have a different line, of things overheard at ACE. So.
Oh. Well, the first thing that I heard when I arrived, when I was just checking in, is I happened to pass by, you know, the area where the maids and the maintenance people sort of hang out. The door was open to their break room or whatever, and as I was passing by, they were lamenting that they hadn't yet seen anyone in costumes, and like, where are the tinfoil hats? So I think that the people at the hotel thought maybe it was going to be more like Comic-Con.
We were just laughing about it because we were also nattily dressed and nice and polite. We just blew our cover.
That's right. I probably would have rather worn a costume.
Me too, rather than a suit, I have to tell you. And then I remember getting up one morning, and I won't give you the whole context of this, but I have a text on my phone. After closing the bar the night before, a bunch of us did, I had a text on my phone. Good morning, Wes. I'm at the bar.
That's right. Good morning. I'm in the bar. That would be me.
And it's like, holy.
That was my text. I was having breakfast, but I was physically in the bar. You're right about that.
And there's lots of overheard at ACE, and maybe we'll get to that next time around, as we got like a couple of minutes left for the show. Less than.
We just got 90 seconds, so, you know, it's about time, I think, to wrap it up. Now, we're going to be probably re-airing. We'll both be out of town. We're going to re-air something wonderful for next Sunday evening. And following that, we're going to have our friend Robert Mason on from Perth, Australia, to talk about the Robert Mason Chronicles, about his new book and about his abduction experience and whatever he wants to talk about. And remember, folks, if you want to reach us, our new email addresses are fully functional. You can get Rob at producer at
contactradio.ca,
and you can get me at host at contactradio.ca. And if you'd like to be on the show,
you can do bookings at contactradio.ca.
There
it's
we
all
go.
There.
All right, folks. So thank you again for being so supportive, our wonderful audience, our wonderful sponsors, and we will see you very soon. And remember, we are not alone. Good night, Wes.
Good night, Leslie.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.